This is Community Voices. I'm co-host Randy Eccles, and we are continuing our Illinois 250 series in partnership with Illinois Humanities. Today, we are thrilled to have Kim Segafis with us. We'll be talking about Native American history and the Declaration of Independence. Tell us your story. Where'd you grow up? I understand you decided to become a writer.
I grew up in Minnesota. I'm a Minnesota girl. I currently live in Illinois, so I'm a transplant over here. I grew up in Minnesota. My family is from White Earth Reservation, which is in the northwest corner of Minnesota, about an hour east of Fargo. I grew up not on the reservation. My father died when I was a year, and my mother is not Native, and she moved us into the inner city of Minneapolis where her parents lived. I grew up knowing I was Native, but I didn't know much about it. And it wasn't until I had grown up and gotten married and started having children that I decided that I would delve into my Native side. And that's really where my education started. And that was about 40 years ago, kind of aging me, I know. I started my Native education there. I had reached out to my father's family, and that's really where it started. I'm really interested in a lot of different parts of being a Native American as well. The cultural differences between how I grew up and how I might have grown up had I been on the reservation. I actually have been writing for a very, very long time. I can't remember a day when I didn't write something, even as a child. I've been writing for a very long time. I have 20 books out now. They all have a Native American theme or they're centered in Native culture. I write in almost all genres, children's, young adult, fiction, nonfiction. I enjoy that very much, actually. I enjoy the research that comes with that, as well as being able to tell a story. I enjoy that quite a bit.
You really have had two lives to some extent. You had your life before you got to do your research, and since. What triggered that, and what have you learned as you've gone through this process?
I want to be able to pass on all of my background and my culture to my children. That was what really triggered me. We moved a lot when I was a child, and I never felt like I fit in anywhere. The person who wasn't white. The schools didn't know where to put me as far as I wasn't African-American, and so they weren't sure how to handle some of the discrimination that was going on with me when I was growing up. Writing became a way where no matter where we moved, I could take that with me, and that was my safe place. Learning about my Native culture, as I realized, as I started learning about it, the more I realized that that's where I fit in the most. While I love my mom's culture, which is Irish Catholic and German, I realized that I'm more, my heart and soul is Native, and that is where I connect to the world. And so I've been able to pass that on to my own children. They have had a little piece of each, and they've made their decisions as well as far as which side they connect mostly to. I can tell you that all of my children have some Native aspects in their life. They organic farm or sing and drum or play the flute. I'm really glad that I delved into that, basically found myself and was able to give a really basic, great platform for my children to grow up in as well and be proud of who they are.
You are an Illinois Rhodes Scholar, and you've prepared a program for Illinois Humanities called We the Native People. Can you tell us a little more about that?
I got to thinking about the 250th anniversary, and I thought to myself, well, how does this connect with the Native people? Because during that time, we still weren't life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness didn't sound like us at all. And so I started looking into that. And I realized as I read the Declaration of Independence that, first of all, I had never actually read through the whole thing before. And I realized that Native people were really not thought of very well within that context. We were referred to as savage people. There was the King of England had actually caused us to riot and kill people. It didn't matter who they were, a child, man or woman, and it made us sound just horrible. And so I thought to myself, this sounds like a really good program for Rhodes Scholars because we are celebrating the 250th. How did that document come out? How did that document that came out, how that affected the Native people? And did it affect the Native people? Well, no, it really didn't, except that it emphasized in other people's minds that we're savage people and that the people who were discriminating against us at that time, who thought of us as people that were stupid or people that were horrible, it gave them, they went, well, it's in the Declaration of Independence, so it must be true. It just reinforced all of that feeling. So it didn't do us any good at the time anyway. And still over the years of the 250th now come to be, it's really stood for a kind of a dark time for us in our history. We've actually moved up from that, persevered through that, and we have resilience from that. It's kind of in the very beginning, it's very, very matter of fact, and this is what it said in the Declaration. But I do talk about, we're not stuck there in 1776. You know, we have moved on, and it's caused us to stand up for ourselves and to form our own governments and become sovereign nations, really become a part of this United States. Yes, land was taken from us. We have contributed to this United States. And for the most part, I believe that most Native American people are proud to be Americans because of that. And we have served in the military and we have supported the United States the best that we can. We have passed on our traditions to other cultures in order to help them. We've contributed a lot. The way people view us now is hopefully a lot better than back in 1776.
With the 250th of the Declaration of Independence, it's revered to some extent, but when you look at it closely and how it was a vision statement for white European men mostly at the time, it's taken a long time to get to this place where hopefully everybody's being recognized and treated with equity. But as we've seen, even with current events, that's still a challenge for this country.
Initially, we started in such a place that nobody understood us. I think there's a lot of fear when you don't understand a culture. If people start thinking things about you and they don't know for sure. And we have overcome some of that. So I am really proud and happy about that.
Just in case somebody wants to look into it more, it was the American Indian Chicago Conference in 1961, which came up with a Declaration of Indian Purpose.
I do know the AIC was, that organization coming to be in Chicago was huge for Illinois. We had very little Native people that were prior to that, that lived here. You couldn't get a job here. You couldn't find a home here. Nobody would rent to you. The discrimination was not great. It was not good for the Native people. It wasn't until the AIC opened and really started inviting people back into the Chicagoland area that we didn't have very many Native people once the Indian Removal Act had removed everybody. They were very instrumental in helping.
The Removal Act moved almost everybody west of the mm-hmm. Mississippi out of Illinois. It's only been really recently that some of that has been recognized. There's been some land exchange, et cetera, that has happened to partially respond to what has happened. Where have you felt most proud and most conflicted about this relationship?
This relationship with our country, are you talking about?
Yeah, with the Declaration and the country.
The Declaration. I feel very proud, actually, about how the Native people have persevered through all of this. I'm very happy that people's hearts have opened up more to us and are willing to give us, let us talk and have a say, and are interested in the culture now. Back in the 50s, you didn't want to admit if you were Native American at all because you wouldn't, like I said, you couldn't get a job or a place to live. Now it seems like I do a lot of Native, I do about 60 of them, some for the Illinois Humanity Road Scholars. I have a lot of people that are very interested in the culture, and so I'm very proud about that, proud about the way that we are sharing, that we've opened our hearts and accepted that culture and also opened our hearts and are now able to share that culture. As being disenchanted with our country, I wish we were farther along. I wish we were not discriminating against anybody. We were all equal and that the skin color didn't matter of anybody. where you live and how you live or who you worship or anything else. I think it's preference, and I just wish that everyone would be accepted for who they are inside and not by the way they look.
I appreciate that. And in the same theme, what can be done to make this year's recognition more inclusive and honest in accounting?
You know, I think inviting all cultures, including Native people, to really come out and tell their stories. I mean, we're all very aware of how the Native people were treated, you know, way back when, and that they were removed and, you know, all of that. But I think inviting, if you have a celebration in your town, invite people out, Native elders out, or people out to talk about their culture and how the signing affected them, but how far we've come from that and how far we can go from that as well. Just inclusiveness with everybody is probably the best way to do that.
Whenever you get to talk with somebody on a regular basis, it's a lot easier to understand we're all human and face a lot of the same challenges. Our differences make us richer. It's challenging sometimes, especially with some of the past history, like the Removal Act, to interact with each other. One of the things we talked about briefly was the Land Back movement. What do these efforts mean to you? Are they important? Are they realizing some of the promise of the Declaration of Independence?
Well, they're important. I think they are important. I understand the importance of getting your land back. Because of our history and our past, it makes sense. And it does some good for the government and the people to understand what happened and how it wasn't right to go about things the way that it happened. I don't think it fixes the entire problem. I don't think it fixes the entire past. However, I do think it's a step forward in the future for better things to come. And I don't believe, and I can't speak for every Native person, but I know for myself, I know that even though it doesn't fix everything that happened in the past, it makes me very confident and hopeful that things are going to keep going down this path. We can't get all our land back. We can't kick everybody off of their land. For example, I live on Potawatomi land, so I don't think that I should be removed from my land and have to, you know, end up going back up to Minnesota where I'm from. I think that doesn't make sense, but I think the acknowledgement of the things that were done wrong, I think acknowledging, Maya Angelou used to say, when you know better, you do better. And so I think that that's where my heart has always been at. So if you look like you're moving forward with your thoughts and your thinking and your heart, then I think that's the right direction.
If people want to know and learn more about Native Nations in Illinois, any recommendations of where to go learn more or see or anything like that?
There are really great museums in the state of Illinois. Field Museum has a great exhibit, for example, a Native people exhibit. The Mitchell Museum is going through a transformation. I think it's called Gichigama Museum now, and that is in Evanston, and that is a really terrific museum to go to. I also suggest books by people like Joe Bruschak and Tim Tingle and Louise Erdrich, and those Native really good stories and storytelling. So I think you have to be careful if you look at stuff on the internet because you don't know who's putting it on there. As I always caution people about doing research on the internet, make sure you're at a site that you know is a good site and it's not propagandizing bad things. I've always told people is your best way of knowledge, of learning any knowledge. Reaching out, I'm going to powwows and reaching out to the Native community and joining in on things like that, I think is also another good way to do that.
Illinois Humanities, as part of Illinois 250, is also promoting Illinois Passport. It's got several different sites you can go to, including Cahokia Mounds, Blackhawk State Historic Site, Isla Alacache, and Romeoville. So there are a lot of those things you can find at il250.org. Anything you'd like to leave us with as we wrap up today, Kim?
I think just if you have the chance to experience or immerse yourself, even for a day in the Native culture, I think you should give that a chance. I think people should give that a chance. There's a lot of powwows in the summer. There's a lot of events going on in the summer. And I think that people coming out and really experiencing what it is like to be Native and eating the food and talking with the elders and listening to the flute music and watching the dancers. That's really what we're all about. We honor the earth. We honor the sky. And so we are here as stewards of our land and of the earth. And so we do have good things that we can pass on to people. And so I just encourage people to reach out and embrace the Native culture.
Kim Segafis, I appreciate you joining us. You're a wonderful author, and you've got this presentation people can see if they get the opportunity to. We the Native people. So thank you for doing this and joining us on Community Voices today.
Thank you for having me.
America 250 and Illinois Voices appears on Community Voices Thursdays at noon and 10 p.m. And you can also listen on demand at mprillinois.org.